Assalamu alaikum, my dear listeners. Welcome to Thursday's Bedtime Reading. I pray that you're all well. Inshallah, this week, we shall finish off a small part of what remains of chapter 16, which was entitled Under Fire. If we remember from last week, Abu Lahab and his wife, Jamil, started torturing the Prophet ﷺ and his family, throwing stones into their house, leaving thorns outside the house. And this is just the last part of that chapter regarding courage and regarding patience. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Khadija radiallaha was patient during this difficult time and continued to pray to Allah for help. She continued to show kindness towards Jamil and all the people she came across in Mecca. It wasn't long before Allah the Almighty revealed the following verses of the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, condemning Abu Lahab and Jamil. The translation of the Quran ayat goes, "Perish the hands of Abu Lahab, and may he perish. His wealth and children will not benefit him. He will be burnt in a fire of blazing flames, and his wife, the carrier of firewood, will have around her neck a robe of twisted fibre," which is Surah number 111 in the Quran, Al-Mas'ad. Inshallah, we'll start chapter 17 now, which is called Hard Times. "He is cut off! He is cut off!" gloated Al-As ibn Wa'il, slapping his friend Abu Lahab on the back. Abu Lahab joined him in a jovial celebration when he heard the news. News of the death of Khadija radiallahu anha's son Abdullah had spread throughout Mecca, and the idolaters were very pleased. They took pride in having boys, as sons would carry on the family name. "Muhammad thinks he is a prophet, yet when he dies, his name will disappear and be forgotten," Al-As gloated with a wry grin as his friends fell around like hyenas, laughing and mocking. Tears fell from Khadija Rudyana's eyes as she grieved the loss of little Abdullah. The taunts of the Quraysh rang in her ears, adding insult to injury. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam reassured her that this was all a test from Allah. Abdullah had been such a delightful child, boisterous and lively. He had just begun to learn to ride a horse when his little life ended. Together, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Khadija Rudyana buried their second son and patiently endured the hatred spewed about them all over Mecca. Not a day went by without someone mercilessly attacking Khadija's house or her husband. Sometimes it was rocks being hurled into the courtyard or thrown at them in the streets, or thorny branches were placed outside their door. At other times they would find that rubble and filthy garbage had been spread around their houses. Even though Khadija has remembered the days when their life in Mecca was peaceful and their family was well respected, the inner peace that Allah had given her was worth more than anything else. She thanked Allah for guiding her to the truth. Khadija's heart ached every time she heard the screams of torture ringing out over the Meccan valleys. These days, Abu Hakam, whom the Muslims had renamed as Abu Jahl, the father of ignorance, because of his foul and barbaric behaviour towards them, marched around Mecca with a whip in hand, ready to strike anyone who was a follower of the Prophet ﷺ. Muslims who had no tribe to protect them were being beaten, imprisoned and killed at the hands of Abu Jahl and his henchmen, all in an effort to extinguish the light of faith that was flickering in their hearts. They were being killed for saying their Lord was Allah. Allah the Almighty revealed Surah Al-Kawthar to the Prophet ﷺ, giving him glad tidings of the spectacular pool of Al-Kawthar that would be given to him on the Day of Judgment, forever quenching the thirst of his followers. Allah reassured him that it was the likes of Al-As and Abu Lahab who would be gone and forgotten. The translation of this Quran Surah is, "Indeed, we have given you Al-Kawthar, so pray to your Lord and sacrifice for him. Indeed, The one who taunts you is the one who is cut off, which is Surah number 108 in the Quran. The angel Jibreel alayhi salam continued to visit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and teach him the words of Allah. His visits comforted the family. O Allah's messenger, Jibreel said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on one occasion, Khadija is coming to you with a dish of food. When she reaches you, greet her on behalf of her Lord and on my behalf, and give her glad tidings that she shall have a palace made of pearls and jewels in paradise, and there she will never endure any distress nor clamour ever again. When the Prophet ﷺ conveyed the special message to Khadija radiallahu anha, she smiled, feeling the warmth of Allah's mercy wrapped around her, knowing it was a promise that would never be broken. Darul Nadwa was full of worried frowns. Hajj season was fast approaching, and the number of Muslims in Mecca had continued to grow and grow. Did you witness what we did to Muhammad the other day? Boasted Abu Jahl. Pearls and jewels in paradise, and there she will never endure any distress nor clamour ever again. When the Prophet ﷺ conveyed the special message to Khadija radiallahu anha, she smiled, feeling the warmth of Allah's mercy wrapped around her, knowing it was a promise that would never be broken. Darul Nadwa was full of worried frowns. Hajj season was fast approaching, and the number of Muslims in Mecca had continued to grow and grow. Did you witness what we did to Muhammad the other day? Boasted Abu Jahl, straightening his gold medallion proudly. He chuckled loudly. We threw the filthy entrails of a stinking dead camel onto Muhammad's back while he was praying. Did you? Gasped Utba, his sunken eyes widening with surprise. No one from Banu Hashim saw it, of course, Abu Jahl continued, except his daughter, Fatima, who came crying to her father's aid. All he has to help him is a little girl. I thought Allah was on his side, Abu Lahab said, rolling his eyes sarcastically. He loved these meetings at Darul Nadwa, as there was always so much food to be enjoyed. He belched as he began devouring his second plate. But then he stood in the sacred sanctuary and prayed against each of you. By name, Al-Walid reminded him, lifting his staff up and jabbing it in the air at each of their cohorts. His prayer will never come true, Abu Jahl said, biting the tips of his fingers nervously. But his religion is spreading like wildfire across Mecca, Utba lamented, shrugging his shoulders in disbelief. His sunken eyes were looking more sullen than ever. Our way of life is under threat, Abu Lahab protested, tossing some olives into his already full mouth. He has corrupted our sons and daughters, Utba moaned, thinking about his own son, Abu Hudhayfa, who had embraced Islam. They are now rubbing their faces on the ground, praying to Allah. Does Muhammad still have the audacity to rub his face in the dust in front of the Kaaba, right in front of you? Abu Jahl hissed. Yes, came the emphatic reply. By Allah and Al-Uzza, Abu Jahl fumed. If I see him doing that, I will stamp on his neck or I will push his face into the dirt. His followers get bolder and bolder. This is getting out of hand, Abu Sufyan said, stroking his beard. Even if he was telling the truth, we would never follow him, Abu Jahl said, shaking his head from side to side. For we are the rich leaders of Quraysh, and it is us that he should be following. The pilgrims are coming, Al-Walid observed, and Muhammad and Abu Bakr are sure to invite them to their religion. Shame on us, Utba wailed. We should have crushed the sapling when it first appeared from the ground. Now the Arabs will think we are losing control of Mecca. Abu Jahl began thinking intensely about the situation and paced back and forth frantically, his gold medallion swaying as he did so. If his religion spreads, we will lose everything. Our wealth and position as the leaders of Quraysh will be gone, he said. Who will visit the Kaaba if they can call on Allah from wherever they may be? And if the Arabs stop coming to Makkah, then we may as well wave goodbye to our trade, Al-Walid added. We have offered him money, power, wives, the keys to the Kaaba, if he stops his call, Abu Sufyan reminded them. But he refuses. We must put a stop to him before we become the laughingstock of the Arabs, Abu Jahl concluded, shaking his head. Let us announce to the pilgrims that he is a compulsive liar so that they don't listen to him. Hearing this, Al-Walid bin Mughira shook his head, resting his chin on his staff and swaying to and fro as he scanned his mind for a solution. No, he said dismissively, they know him as As-Sadiq al-Amin. Then we shall say that he is a poet, suggested Utba, his eyes suddenly coming to life again. There is not a single man who is more knowledgeable of poetry or prose than I. And let me tell you, his words are not poetry, Al-Walid said authoritatively, waving his index finger in the air. How about a soothsayer, suggested Abu Lahab, belching loudly as he finished devouring his third bowl of food. A madman? Came another suggestion. They will know when he speaks to them that he is not a madman, Al-Walid reasoned. So we must prevent them from listening to him in the first place. He paused and thought. He looked up and he looked down. He stroked his grey beard and twisted it around his fingers. Then he began to frown as his mind concocted a cunning plan. There was silence in the chamber as Al-Walid closed his eyes to think. He breathed in deeply and stood up on his feet, opening his eyes and smiling proudly. I have it! He exclaimed. These words that Muhammad speaks, this Quran that has affected so many people, let us tell everyone that it is powerful black magic. That way the pilgrims will be too afraid to listen to him and won't get affected by it. The men in Darul Nadwa turned to each other and nodded. Let's tell them that his magic will cause families to break up, husbands to go against their wives, and sons against their fathers. You are a genius, Al-Walid, exclaimed Abu Jahl, laughing out loudly and slapping an alarmed-looking Utba on the back. This will be the end of Muhammad and his religion. Abu Jahl came hurtling towards the Kaaba in fury, his leather whip held tightly in his hand. Being a coward, he only attacked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was praying and no one was around to defend him. O Muhammad, he barked, didn't I tell you never to pray here? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam prostrated his forehead upon the ground. Abu Jahl's henchmen looked on with grins on their faces as he stood proudly over the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's head. He raised his foot, ready to stamp on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed neck. All of a sudden, he dropped his whip onto the ground, fell onto his back with a thud and began shrieking, scurrying like a cockroach in the dirt. He scrambled backwards towards the sand with a desperate howl and leapt away, running with his arms over his head. What is the matter with you? Called out his comrade. Help! He wailed. There is a ditch of fire in front of me and terror and wings. His comrades, seeing their friend quaking and screeching with fear, fled from the scene as fast as they could. The Prophet ﷺ completed his prayer peacefully. If he had come near me, he remarked, the angels would have torn him limb from limb. Subhanallah. What an emotional chapter that we've just read today. Look at the strength of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the strength of Khadija radhiyallahu anha. You know how as a family they consoled each other through the hardest of times, but would not let their faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not let that waver for even one moment. Subhanallah. So inshallah, next week we will start chapter 18. I really cannot wait. Now, my dear listeners, as we do every Thursday, as a reminder to everyone, as it is the night of Jum'ah, Shabbat Jum'ah, a humble reminder to everyone to read as much durood and send it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also to prepare for the day of Jum'ah like it's the day of Eid, having the sunnah wash in the morning, dressing in your best attire, going to the masjid early, listening to the khutbah, inshallah. And also, as a reminder, before we go to sleep, to try to read the bedtime dua, which is Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. Also try to read the kalima before we go to sleep. And one final reminder for us all to try and engage in as many acts of charity, of kindness as we can. This is another hadith that I'm reading from Fazail al-Sadaqat. It's hadith number 25. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that when the wife gives something as sadaqah out of the family's provisions, without being wasteful, she will receive a reward for that, and the husband also receives a reward because he was the earner. While the person, man or woman, who made arrangements for the food also earns a reward. All three will be rewarded without reduction in anyone's share. Subhanallah, look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's willing to give us so much, even for a small act of kindness, an act of charity. Since all listeners try to do something where we do it solely for the purpose of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. Until next week, assalamu alaikum.